So we dropped all of our prices because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And
They
that's
would take care of us.
exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide for about $100. You can see every pay-per-view that we have available opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of all our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it, and we'll see you there. Common Confidential. Sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, right up our alley. But still, the six washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later. So, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene. The Summer's Eve products, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve. Or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, that's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern was what is this going to smell like?
I was like,
Because
uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code STEPHANIECLASSX and get yourself.
You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Klass, along with my wife, OnlyFans model and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Klass. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you.
Awesome. So we are super excited because
Yes.
we have Nita Marie with us. I'll be honest, Nita, prior to having you reach out, I'll admit I did not know who you were. And I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed now because I've looked,
Oh, I was.
but I'm like blown away at everything that
Aww.
You've done. It
Thank
is
you.
absolutely astounding. And
Thank you.
having seen it from our side of things and knowing how hard it is to do what you have done,
Yes, thank
it
you.
makes it just even more incredible to us.
Aw, thank you.
So just wanted to throw that out there from the start before we get going, that you are incredible and awesome.
Yes. Aw, thank you.
And I will stop inflating your ego now. Not that it needs to be inflated anymore.
Make it bigger. No.
But we can have a normal conversation now.
Yeah.
But so one of the things that when you reached out to us, and I was looking into you was, you had a an interesting connection with religion.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that held us back in our initial journey with
for the longest time.
Everything is just this, you know, what is that not
veil.
Only everybody else going like to think, what is God going to think,
right.
You know, what is, you know, all this stuff. So that's, I really want to get your input on stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just, I guess we should start with, tell us about you in your own words, instead of me trying to, you know, describe who you are.
I totally appreciate the introduction. So thank you so much for just, you know, the kudos on everything. I do feel like God is very much in my business, which I think is kind of ironic since so many people think that, you know, God can't be in, you know, a porn industry. But I do feel like God is very much in my business. And that's one of the reasons why I even kept doing it when I was questioning myself. So just a little background about me is I've been on OnlyFans for, I guess, going on 5 years. And I started after my divorce, and I wasn't even planning on getting onto OnlyFans. I just wanted to start reconnecting with my body and my sexuality after being in kind of an asexual relationship for several years. And so I just started modeling and started doing boudoir modeling, just sensual modeling, and then really started to build a fan base. And through building my fan base, I realized that I could potentially monetize it. And I was a broke single mom at the time and needed the money. So I thought, okay, why don't I make a website? So this is before I even knew about OnlyFans. I was like, let's make a website and I'll start people subscribing to the website for extra content. So the exact, of course, concept of OnlyFans, I created myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but of course, I didn't do it with the right credit card processing, because that's something that is really hard to get adult content, you know, verified on credit cards. So I did it through PayPal. And it actually ran for a full year on PayPal, and I ended up making really good money. Yeah, I know. I was like, wow, I'm impressed they kept it so long. But then I got shut down. And at that point, I was like, crap, you know, I'm going to have to do something else. And I decided to do OnlyFans, even though they took, you know, the 20%, simply because it was less of a headache than having my own website, of course. So, yeah, so that was a little bit about me. And then, of course, as I started OnlyFans, I really enjoyed it and started making a lot of money. And it was really, you know, when I broke my own belief barrier of making $1 million my first year, I thought, wow, this is crazy, right? Like, who would have thought that I would do this? And so after that is when I really decided I wanted to start my coaching program to help other women and content creators be able to also make very good money, because my previous job, which I still do, like kind of on the side, was empowering women with the cosmetic business with Mary Kay. And I really fell in love with empowering women through that job. And through, it was not a job, it's a business. But I fell in love with
my mom. My mom was a Mary Kay consultant growing up.
Really?
Oh, yes. So I'm very well versed in the Mary Kay line, at least the early 90s line. You know,
yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I still have Mary Kay here in my office.
Mary Kay's, I see that.
Yeah. So it's like, this is like, you know, still part of me, and I still love my Mary Kay, you know, it's just like always going to be there. But I can't, like, nothing can compete with what OnlyFans is bringing in for me now financially. So, you know, I kind of just got to a point that I had to come to peace with the fact that, you know, I was placed at the right time, you know, at the right business to be able to have a platform for women, you know, that might want to do the same thing, and to help women that maybe are currently in even the porn industry have a more empowering experience in their own, you know, business. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's it has been one of those things for her.
Yes.
Where this was a journey that she wanted to go on herself, but it was, even though, you know, belief wise and all that kind of stuff, she was on board. Her mindset, her body just would not let her calm down and enjoy the journey on it.
Yeah. Right.
So it was something that we did. We've been doing it for about 3 years now.
Right.
But for, I'd say, well, 3.5 years. I'd say for 3 of those 3.5 years, her anxiety was to the point where we just wouldn't market it really anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And we made enough money to make a living, but not enough to, like, you know, go wild with it because she was internally just like at odds with what's going to happen if somebody finds out, you know, society is just going to destroy us, you know? And it's like, why does it matter? Why would society destroy us? I mean, her whole thing is essentially based on ethical porn. For her, it's she takes guys' virginities, you know, it's a real deal thing. It's something that these guys have had anxiety over, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool.
And she's done 16. She's taken 16 guys' virginities.
Wow.
And these are guys that were slighted one way or another as far as, like, their girlfriend, you know, told them, hey, let's wait till marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
or the religion aspect, like they grew up religion, super religious.
And then they get, and they break up and they're left 24 years old.
Yeah.
Having never had sex before.
Wow. Yeah.
So they're, she related with them on this anxiety level of just like, I know what it feels like to just be like, I don't know how to function, like, you know? And it happened the first time and she saw the change that just kind of started happening with these guys.
That's awesome.
And I mean, a lot of them come out and slay afterwards, you know, once you get that anxiety thing over.
Yeah.
And get that stigma out of the way. It's just easier for them to, like, be themselves, you know, and just to live their life how they want to live. Or, you know, like, there's other people that, like, they get so focused on work that they, like, forget to, like, have sex. And then after that, they're like, you know, oh, I can do both. Like, it's, you know, it's not a one or the other. I can, you know, have both in my life and, you know, be successful. So it's cool. So
I'd imagine really cool. The similar to the religion thing, like, you know, once you got over the anxiety of it, well, we still had the religion aspect to face, but once they got over the anxiety, it was fine. And I imagine that once most people figure out the religion aspect of it and how they can turn this into a spiritual experience, as opposed to making it seem like a dirty thing. That will empower a lot more people. You know what I mean? It should empower people. I don't think it should be something that is a negative whatsoever. I mean, it's made so many women like yourself independent. And I mean, the amount of other women that you've made independent because of what you've learned is amazing as well.
Yep.
So yeah, just the religion aspect, I guess, is kind of where we'll circle back on that, is just, how did you come to terms with it overall? You've always been religious?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I wanted to just touch on was what you were talking about with her taking guys' virginities. I think that that's a really important thing. I mean, I don't want to just breeze over that. I'm sure you've talked about it with a lot of people, but I feel like that's a really big service that you're providing.
Yeah.
You know, because there's so many guys that are insecure about their sexuality, and that just, it keeps them stuck, like, for a long time. So when you're thinking about religion and faith and all that, like, I kind of bring it back to that service of what I'm providing mankind, right? And so it's like, we have this stigma about providing a sexual services as something that's not okay because it's demeaning to the woman. I think that's what a lot of people say, that it's like putting women backwards because they, you know, we've worked really hard to not sexualize ourselves, right? And I do agree with that to a large extent, in the sense of, I think women in general have not been able to show off all of our gifts and talents, because a lot of things that we do naturally that we're good at don't make a lot of money in society. So, like, you know, teaching, you look at teaching, you look at nursing, you look at, you know, caregivers, you look at moms, even, you know, people that are super moms, they're not making any money. And so we have just had this situation where in our society, as a woman, when we're really showing off our gifts and talents, we're not equaling power in our society, because our society still looks at money as power. So
for sure. Yeah.
When we also look at sex, that is also a gift that women have, is we have the ability to turn on men. We have the ability to excite men. We have the ability to get someone aroused so that, you know, they can procreate. Like, there's lots of things that we do naturally with sex that women, I feel like, have been scared to explore because of the shame of, well, we're not supposed to be sexualized. So again, I understand why women might feel that way, but I feel like sex is something that women should learn to own and learn how to harness and learn how to be empowered with. And if we can make really good money on OnlyFans doing something that naturally comes to us, why not? Like, why not?
Right.
I mean, because we can't make money doing anything else that naturally comes to us. So
yep.
If I sex totally is the agree. Way we're going to do it right now, like, hell yeah, right? Because we yep. need it. We need more women to be empowered financially.
I love it. For I feel sure. like
yes.
I feel like everybody that we've run across, unfortunately, on our side, maybe it's because we're self-proclaimed awkward. I'm not sure. But it's like every time that we've teamed up, we've ended up some sort of sabotage situation. We lost all of our socials about yeah. a year oh, no. and a half into it. I mean, we had built up this huge thing. Huge. And then yeah. somebody just went through and just reported all of yeah. our stuff. And just it shut us down to the point we were just like devastated, you know? And
it
then
was like, you know, it was like
you come to find out it's these a lot of the other models, you know, the, oh, no. the ones that were around us. And we're like,
yeah.
guys, you can't be reporting people oh, for my stuff. Gosh. You know, like
yeah.
it's I realized it's like, oh yeah, that was funny because you wanted to like hurry up and, you know, get above us in rank or something, but like we feed our family.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, with yeah, this yeah. stuff. You know, yeah. nobody thinks of this major implication that comes around. And I mean, we're right, still,
like, it was basically to the point where it was like, what do? Like, do we stop?
Yeah. We went from making almost 10 grand overall a month to like $1,000 because
oh, no.
everything just yeah, got, it was, boom,
it was bad.
Just nothing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
we had
terrible.
To build it all the way back up. We're still kind of recovering from yeah. it, but it's just like, that's one of those things is I feel like with you saying this in empowering women is, there's enough for everybody, right?
Yes.
Like, we don't yes. have to knock people down. That's,
yes. Yes.
And we're all about, like, lifting each other up. I will share my information with everybody because right. I just don't care. I'm
we
a
don't
lover,
gatekeep,
you know,
the yeah. information. We're like, we will share it to everybody because we know that it's not, like, just supposed to be for us. Like, our knowledge, it's share it with everybody because, like,
but that could also possibly be our downfall. Maybe that's our
mistake. I mean, going back to the religious side of it, when I had asked God, because I was, of course, in this place that I was making really good money with OnlyFans, but I was still questioning, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, is this something that I should still turn my back on? And the message that I kept hearing was, no, I want you to empower women in this industry. I want you to be someone there for women in this industry that people can trust. Because I think that the sad thing about the porn industry is that because Christian people and religious people or society has turned their back on the porn industry, it's kind of like a underground business that's then been taken over by the leeches, you know, the people that do want to manipulate, the people that do want yes. to, you know, lie, yep. backstab, all of that, because, you know, the Christian or whatever you want to call it, society people that might have higher ethics have turned their back on the porn industry. And I just feel like, you know, that's the sad thing about judgment is that once you start judging something and separating yourself from something, it gives room for, you know, Satan or all this, you know, negativity, whatever you want to call it, to actually take that over because you're basically turning your back on like a whole thing, like a whole sector of life. And that, so, sorry, that, go ahead.
That is an amazing observation,
yes.
first off.
Yeah.
Just in general, it's porn is something that's not going to go away.
Right.
There's a need in society for it. So
yes.
we as Christians just need to embrace it at this point
right,
and yes. say, hey, let's do this the right way. Because I know that on our side of things, we don't do a ton of collabs. We stick to ourselves for the most part. Have done our fair share, though.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've heard these stories from these people that go out and deal with these people that just have the lowest moral standards. And right. It's like, my heart goes out because I would never in a million years dream of treating somebody like that. I'm a human being first and foremost, and as are they, you know. This is not a business. It is a business, but, you know, I can't treat you as a person like a business, you know?
Yeah.
And when you lose that faith, that Christian aspect, I think you fall more prey to that that ideology.
Exactly. That's my whole point is, like, you know, God never said that you had to have a certain career to be Christian. Like, you know, this is legal. This is something that's been around for years. And, you know, Mary Magdalene was supposedly, you know, a prostitute. And I think the one thing that people always say to me when I bring that up is they'll say, yeah, but he also healed her and said, sin no more. And I'm like, okay, I get that, right? He told me today to sin no more, but I still cursed at someone on the parking lot, right? It's like, so yeah, he says sin no more, but like, we also are in a reality that we need to make money. Like, I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to magically walk on water. I'm going to need to put food on the table, and they're not going to take, you know, they're not going to give it to me for free. Like, unless I go to a food bank, which, you know, I'm probably not going to do. So it's like, on the one hand, we can have this huge ideology that, you know, we should all be perfect and, you know, not sin. But if you really think about it, a lot of careers that people have, if you think about the corporations that they're working for, those corporations are doing a lot of sinful things, and they're getting that money, and they're paying their corporate employees. So like,
I'll tell you right now,
pure here.
I had a fantastic job prior to doing this full time. And I had my own business, and we were doing pretty damn well.
Right.
However, ethically, with everything that was going on in the world, I could not sleep at night. Because the way that I had to feed my family was essentially to screw somebody else over, you know,
to gain,
be it, you know, in the short term or the long term, 5 years from now or whatever. And I just could not bring myself to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sounds counterintuitive, I guess, but I essentially left what is considered a moral industry to join an immoral industry because of my ethical, you know, standards.
Right.
And then, you know, I think our God moment in all of this has just been recent as far as this podcast thing. Ours has, if you asked me a few months ago, I would have said, I'm never doing something like this.
It would have been crazy.
But we started talking about it, and everything starts falling into place with it. And the information, the journey that we've gotten just recently, talking to people like you and stuff like that, is, that's what's going to, you know, get Stephanie and other women from out of this funk.
We have to support each other.
Well, that, and like, you know, I've been like telling other people, like, I mean, I don't tell everybody what it is that we do, but like, I have one like really good friend, and I've kind of like told her, like, she knows everything now, but you know, I was telling her about, you know, the podcast, and she was like, I've been telling you for ever you needed to do this, and you know, I'm like, I finally did it. So I'm like, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm getting out of that like anxiety, like ridden, like paralyzation that you're like, okay, I can like, I can own
it's like
this.
Flexing a muscle. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And
but like, it just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you just feel lighter, like when you're like, okay, I've told somebody what I do, and they accepted it.
Yeah,
and they didn't shame you for it. It's like, okay. Yes, everything
that,
is okay.
That acceptance side of things is the tough part.
Right.
And yeah.
Have you had any instances where you've had people just straight up be like, they find out what you do and they just cut ties with you completely?
Oh, yeah. I had, several people that were involved with Mary Kay did that. And, you know, it is understandable because it's something that is so, like, maybe out of their realm of even being able to understand. But I had one situation where someone had subscribed to my email list, and it was her husband's best friend. And her husband's best friend had subscribed to my email list, and I think he must have felt guilty about it or something. So he told my consultant's best friend, and then my consultant's best friend was like, oh my gosh, that's like my wife's, you know, sales director. And then they blew it way out of proportion. And the way I'm looking at it is, I was like, wait, he was the one who subscribed to my email list.
Right.
Why is he not getting like kind of in trouble too? Like, why is this just all about me, where he's the one who subscribed to my email list? Right. But again, like, I think that sex in general is something that triggers a lot of people. As I've been in this industry and I've been coaching people that are figuring out their own boundaries, figuring out what they want to do in the business, it's just something that we have not dived into enough as a culture. We're not talking about it enough. We're not being realistic about it. And so people are so confused, and just, they get triggered and they don't know why they're triggered. And then they literally take it out on somebody else for no reason. So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. And that's one of the things that I feel like, again, God had asked me to do when I was questioning whether or not I should do this industry, is he really wants me to be able to help people come into a healthy relationship with sex in their body. Because that is, if you look at like the Garden of Eden, like that is what God actually really wanted us to do. He wanted us to love our bodies and to love sex. It wasn't until, you know, the fall of man that we all of a sudden looked at our bodies and were shameful. So it's like, because we're not actually tackling this topic, we're allowing Satan to take it over. So we have to be able to talk about it openly and without judgment.
I agree completely with you.
100%. Yeah.
So your book, I purchased your book.
Now,
I will tell you, again, my honesty, I have ADHD, so even though I purchased it, I can't tell you when I'm going to read it. And I can't make a promise that I will ever completely read it, but I will start it. And the idea of it is you essentially coming out of your shell, correct? And, and learning how to kind of fly. For lack of better comparison, correct? If I buy a hardcover and send it to you, will you sign it for me, Nita? There we go. That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll read it then.
Yeah, I'll read it.
Yeah. I'll totally sign it.
Like, people come over and you're like, hey.
Table book.
Got it signed.
I got it signed by the author.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally. The hardcover is actually really cool, by the way. I'd love for you to order one of those. Yeah.
I will. I definitely will. We talked about it, but I had plans to read it before the interview. So I was like, I better get it because I can't get the hardcover before Thursday. So I was like, let me get the digital. And I'm a dad too, so parenting so took over. ADHD.
I've had a lot of people say, "Is it going to be on audio?" And we are working on the audio version, so way people can listen to it in the car and stuff like that. So yeah.
Well, I just don't want you to be offended by me. It has nothing personal. I think you're an amazing person.
All right.
Oh, you're so sweet.
We're just going to blame the ADHD on this one.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Is there anything else that you care to bring up or share with us? I mean, you dropped a lot of knowledge bombs. I think it's going to be something that we are talking about
for a while.
So I really appreciate it.
Well, how long is the interview? Do you have more time, or are we kind of wrapping up?
We have plenty of time.
Okay.
I don't want to. Whenever it dies down, I give somebody a chance to exit. So, it's just how I am. But you can talk to me as long as you want.
I just feel like this is the kind of topic that we could talk forever about. So, of course, you know, we don't have to keep going. But I feel like one of the things that a lot of people ask me about is, you know, what is your opinion on how we're influencing men to possibly, you know, cheat on their wives by looking at our content instead of, you know, looking at their wife. And I think that that's a topic that's really brought up a lot, because that's what I would say the Christian naysayers would say is why it's sinful for us to be doing what we're doing. And, you know, my personal opinion about that is that there is a problem overall with men maybe fantasizing about other women more than they're fantasizing about their wife. I think that's something that is innate in a lot of men, is just the desire to like spread their seed. There's actually like a biological thing that guys are wired that way. So to be in a monogamous relationship and to think that your husband's never going to think about another woman or to never fantasize is, I think, somewhat unrealistic. And it's just causing a man to feel shameful about his natural desires. Now, how a man acts on that, I feel like, is something that needs to be addressed, because I know for me, like, I'm in this industry and I, you know, caught my husband in a Facebook group that there was like nudity in the Facebook group, and I flipped out. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yes. You have all stuff that's like, that you have access to. I was like, and you're going on Facebook and looking at other women in the Facebook group. Like, so I know that something that happens, and even I got pissed off. So, like, right? But is there, like, what is realistic and what is moral and what is right and what is godly? I would say, honestly, the most important thing is communication about it. Because for me, why I was upset is because I feel like he had been hiding it from me. Like, he had purposely not let me see his phone because he didn't want me to see that he had this on his phone, right? Yeah. And so that's where it was hurtful, was that there was the deceit and there was this feeling of like, why are you hiding this from me? You know that I'm a pretty open person. Like, mm-hmm. Right. If I was someone that was like not as open as I am sexually, I would maybe understand a little bit more. But even then, you know, no matter what, I think lying in general is hurtful. Like, it's just, absolutely, it's hurtful. Oh, yeah. And so it's like, so it's not necessarily that men are looking at other women. It's that they're doing it in a way that's not being open with their wife. But on the flip side, I understand why they're not being open about it, because women are so repressed sexually that they can't come to like consciousness awareness to think that maybe this is normal.
Yeah.
That they're right. That their husband's not really cheating on them, that they're having to satisfy some biological needs, and it's not a personal thing, right?
We have been preaching that it was that was actually just part of our talk yesterday, I believe. Was it yesterday? It was essentially talking about, look, there are things that people just cannot control,
right?
Okay, and the withholding of sex is an issue, especially if you're arguing with your spouse already, and then you're going to withhold sex on top of that.
Yeah,
you're going to make that issue way significantly worse.
Yeah,
you know. So one thing that we preach is, and I don't think it's really something that we knew that we did until we started really talking about it, is that we've created what we call like kind of a bubble within our relationship, right? So we figure we're married. Whatever happens within this relationship, we can tell each other,
right?
And there's no judgment, right? We can try whatever the hell we want. We want to go, you know, we go to hedonism all the time and stuff like that, you know, let's go have a blast.
Right.
And then
whatever happens
here, you know, we can come back between each other. We can laugh and be like, that was the craziest thing ever, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But or like, I never want to try,
never
want to
try that again,
you know, whatever, you know, it is again.
But at the end of the day, we can come back. And I feel like that's an important thing to be able to create with somebody, is to be like, hey, like if I see something now, like if I see a woman that I find attractive, anywhere, or a good porn picture or something, I'm like, hey, check this out. And it's just not a, I don't feel like I have to, you know,
hide it or hide like anything. We play this game where we call it 3-2-1 or 1-2-3. And so we,
gonna give away the secret, man.
Sorry. Okay. Never mind.
we call it 3-2-1. So essentially it's, we see people on the street and it's like you're rating women or, you know, whatever, 1 through 10, you know, like you would on looks. Only is 3, 2, 1 is, 3 is yes, 100%. If that person came up to me, we're taking them home. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Two is, yeah, I could take it or leave it. And one is a heck no. So we both have to like kind of go out and give our answer at the same time, you know, and see if it lands on it. You know, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
It never even has to do with, I mean, obviously it's attraction, but it's never the same type of person or anything. Right. You know what I mean? It's, there's always different things. So, like sometimes we'll be like, oh, that one's a 3 just because, you know, this would be a wild story. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the context behind it.
So do you guys do like, do you do more swinging outside of your content creating, or do you just keep it just to content creating?
So we were swingers before we were content creators.
Right. Okay. Okay.
So we've been swingers for about 10 years and content creators for 3.5. But swinging for us was a very slow journey. and it was, we go through some of our stories on the podcast just because we had the worst experiences you could possibly imagine.
Oh,
like,
no.
To the point where like any normal person would just be like, I never want to do this again.
But
like,
we're able to laugh about it. Like the first time that I took her to a swingers club.
Yeah.
I reached out to the owner of the club and I said, hey, I've got my 23-year-old wife who wants to come to a swingers club for the first time. She's super nervous, super religious. When is the best time for her to come? He goes, oh, you should come Thursday. Well, we went Thursday. It was a terrible, terrible experience.
Oh, no.
Turns out he invited us on Gangbang Thursday.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He thought that would be a great time for my brand new first time wife to come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
So, it was bad. But
we're able to laugh about it now. And we were able to laugh about it pretty quickly after that.
Right.
Because it was just like, what are the chances we would end up in something like that?
Like, shitty was this that they, you know, told us to come on this night and it was
could have ruined everything for
right.
me.
That, you know, is that was scary.
That was literally my first chance of like looking into the lifestyle back then, and he just could have screwed the whole thing up. But thankfully, we've made humor a big part of our relationship.
Right.
So I mean, if something goes wrong, we got to laugh about it.
Right.
That's, good. You know, good. That's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So you still do swinging outside of content creating sometimes, but you try to keep it more to content creating. Yeah,
we're at the point now where we obviously make so much content and stuff that it's like, if we're going to do something, we might as well film it, you know?
Right,
like,
right. Yeah, you might as well, yeah.
There's enough people that don't mind doing it on camera that I can just do it with them instead.
But, like, we haven't been opposed to doing it with other people that, like, don't want to film it, but we're not as, like...
They got to be extra special.
Right.
Yeah, extra special. Yeah, I get it.
So it's one of those things where, like... We throw it out there. We're like, okay, yeah, we can, you know, meet up, whatever. But like, we also like to film, and they're usually like, oh no. Like, that's fine. Like, it's fine. But like, we just wanted to let you know in case.
Because everybody thinks we're trying to like bait and switch them too.
Right.
And it's at the point now where like, it's almost hard for us to even have regular swinging hookups.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the second they find out that we do OnlyFans, they're like, oh, they're trying to, you know, convert us. To...
Right. And you're like, no, that's not what we're trying to do.
We're also in the super awkward position where none of the newer models will work with us because the second they try to, they look at us, they look at our stuff and they're like, oh, this quality is way too good. I could never compete.
Oh.
But then we're also just a little too small to work with the bigger ones. We're stuck in this little
weird, awkward zone.
But we love awkward. We thrive in
it. It's awkward pillow talk anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you should think about joining my VIP coaching group. Because one of the things I talk about in my group is everyone's on an equal level playing field. So what I love about my group is we have people that are making, you know, lots of money, and then we have people that are brand new, and we have people that are kind of in the middle. But the benefit of the group is that the expectation is that everyone is willing to work with somebody else if there's like an attraction there and if there's a niche there, regardless of their actual numbers, you know? Mm. So, of course, I'm not forcing anything, but that's just like the overall attitude of the group, which I really like, because one of the things I found now is for newer creators to get started, it's really hard unless they have a lot of money. because they've got to invest in a lot of promo to get their word out so that they can do cross promotion with people that have the higher numbers. Mm-hmm. And so I just did a collaboration a couple months ago, like a month ago, really, here. And it was called the Snow Bunny event. And I had like three brand new people come to that. And one girl went from 54 Instagram followers to 10,000 Instagram followers in a month. Wow. Yeah. Just from the cross promotion of what everybody did to at the event. And then I had, everybody had a lot of growth, but I thought that was really cool to see that someone who came in without very much money was able to, in a month, build their Instagram to 10,000 and then also build her paid subscribers to like 100, which isn't that much, but it's a lot when you're.
No, absolutely.
That's still pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've definitely done our fair share of wasting money on promotions and stuff, right? But we've we just had one last week. We spent $300 and you got 70 clicks. I was like,
oh no.
She said she sent it out to 200,000 or 300,000 people and it got 70 clicks. And I'm like, I'll go off on that another time.
For another time.
But I get it though. And that's why I respect so much of what you've been able to accomplish, because it seems like every like possible pothole that you could fall into, we have certainly fallen into it. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
And you figured out how to kind of like navigate it. And it's incredible. You obviously have an amazing marketing mind and an amazing salesperson mind too.
Thank you.
Being able to do Mary Kay. So it's awesome. I'm a salesman too at heart. That's you know, that's my bread and butter is being able to sell people on things that, and I have a big dick. So that's good too. So,
that's always helpful.
But it's just cool to be able to see, you know, somebody who obviously is just a master salesman, you know, whether or not that's what you market yourself as or not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just, everything that you do is just, it's just a marketing masterclass. It's wonderful. You're just you're a great person, and everything you put out online is wonderful too.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you talking to us again.
Thank you. I'm
very excited about this one.
This has been great. Thank you.
Anything else worth bringing up?
No,
I
mean,
I can pick your brain forever. Yeah. I really can.
Well, do you want to ask me a couple more questions?
Sure. Let's go. So how can I, business questions? Is that okay? Can I ask OnlyFans business questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how often or how much work do you put in per day, would you say, on your page at this point? Now that you've built your
empire,
so to speak, is this something now where you can not have to put as much effort into it every day?
Yes and no. I feel like I'm never going to be able to not communicate with my fans. You know what I mean? So that's something that is always going to be something that I will need to do, because it is called OnlyFans.
You have a massive fan base. So I'd imagine you get messages just nonstop. So I can imagine that being a big part of your day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's certain people that I don't want to ignore, because there's certain people that, you know, are my best fans, you know? So it's like, I don't want them to feel ignored or to feel like, you know, that the money that they've spent is not going to be appreciated. I think that there are some things that I've been able to delegate that's been helpful. Obviously, just things like, you know, social media postings or, you know, certain postings that I do on my page. That's something that, you know, I can have someone else help me with. But when it comes to
type stuff.
Yeah. When it comes to communicating with my fans, I want to make sure that they feel like I'm there still talking to them.
Super important.
Yeah. No matter how successful I've gotten. But it's still, it's kind of a catch 22, because I think the number one thing that a lot of people will say when they hear about, you know, how much money I make and my business is, I think they'll say something like, well, if I showed my boobs online, I'd be making $1 million too, right? And so it's just like they kind of demean it, because they don't want to really recognize it as a real business. And I'm like, you know what? There's actually a lot of people that show their boobs online that don't make very much money.
Right.
The first thing anybody says to us, especially friends lately, when we tell them, because, you know, it's just, let's get that weight off, is, oh, yeah, well, you know, I considered selling my feet pictures online once. And I'm like, do you really think it's that easy? Like, you're just going to put a picture of your big toe up and someone's going to be like, $1,000. There we go.
You're like, I'm a millionaire now. You're like, no.
It's not just your big toe they're buying. They're buying the personality behind the big toe and the story behind the big toe and what the big toe wore earlier that day. Like, I'm glad that you guys really considered about putting yourself on the line there by showing your feet. But, like, I'm not sure we're quite on the same page here. Right. We admitted to you that our career now is making adult porn, you know? And you said, oh, well, I thought about showing my feet online once.
Well, it's definitely not as much of a risk. And I'm always flabbergasted by people that are like, oh, I want to do OnlyFans, but I don't want to do anything sexual. Like, I just want people to buy naked photos. And I'm like, okay, well, you can do that because there are some people that have built a brand that way, right? But don't trick yourself into thinking that you will magically make $1 million off of that, because there's like few and far between people that actually really can do that. I mean, the only person I know who's done that is Mrs. Poindexter. And the only reason she was able to do that is because of her massive marketing mind, right? I mean, she is literally a genius. And so,
I've been tracking that one too. I love her also.
So just a funny story about her is we actually used to run the coaching group together. So pretty close. Yeah. And she's always had a different business model than me. So she was one of those people that her entry was always paid entry. And she only posted nudity on the page. There wasn't anything else that she asked for. So she didn't ask for money through pay-per-view. She didn't ask for money through sexting or anything like that. And
she got me a few times.
What?
So she got me a few times.
She sexted with you?
No, I didn't sex her. I've just been, I've subscribed to her page.
Okay, so you subscribed. So yeah.
Purely for business reasons, though.
Of course, purely for business reasons. Of course, I understand. So that's the way she always marketed her page, right? And I have always done a mixture of things. I've always done sexting and pay-per-view and subscription money. And for a while, I was making more money than her because, again, it's a little challenging to make tons of money if it's just based on subscription, right? But her model was really solid because a lot of guys stayed because she wasn't trying to oversaturate them with pay-per-view and sexting and all that stuff. So she was able to have a really high rebill. Well, then, of course, when her article went viral, you know, just it blew up. And I think that that was obviously, you know, I know we talk about like in Christianity favor, when people have favor. I really think that Mrs. Poindexter has had, you know, favor in this business, you know, because she has kept certain things and she's been able to be an example for people that maybe didn't or don't want to do the extra sex stuff, right? That want to just do soft porn. And I always bring her up to some of my coaching clients that are like, well, I don't know if I want to do, you know, this or that. And I always try to remind them that you can be very successful doing soft porn. However, you also have to do X, Y, and Z if you're going to do that. Like, it's not like you just do soft porn and you just post a picture on Instagram and all of a sudden you get 1,000 followers, you know?
Right.
Like, she worked really, really hard before she got that viral article, and she had things in place for a while. And so, but because she's been successful, I always bring her up as an example for people that if they wanted to run their business that way, they could still be successful.
I was always confused by it. Every time I'd go there, I'd be like, okay, I'm ready. Has she gotten into the hardcore stuff yet? And then I'd be like, nope, we're still there. That's unfortunate. It is what it is. That's why I didn't realize that it was just never going to
get there.
I was an early adopter. You know, I thought maybe things changed. I didn't know. But
it's true that a lot of people would change, you know, and she never did. And I admire her for that.
Yeah, like kudos for that, you know, like not changing.
It was immediately something that we were like, no, this is going to be hardcore because this is what we like to do.
Yeah, because that's what you want. Yeah. And that's who you are. Yeah. And
ultimately, even if we weren't making money from it, it's probably still what we would be doing.
Right.
We're just thankful that, you know, with all the virgins that she's been able to record with,
yes.
That we're able to make a living
with it.
I love it. That's so good.
No, it's fun, but I don't think we would have gotten where we were without, you know, with all of that. So
yeah, certainly not going softcore. It's just not a possibility, right. Unfortunately for us.
Yeah.
But it is nice to think about, you
right?
Know?
Yeah,
it is. You have to be yourself, and I think that's a great thing about OnlyFans, and that's what I always tell people is that the reason why OnlyFans is so awesome is because you can literally make money doing the kind of content that you want to do. Now, I know I was making fun of doing feet, you know, stuff. You probably won't make millions just doing feet stuff. Like, you probably have to do a little bit more than that. But in general, like, you can be successful doing the content that you want to do, presenting yourself the way you want to present yourself online.
Right.
And you make the choices. And you also get to decide whether or not you want to block a fan, like whether or not you want to work with a certain content creator. Like, you still have the choices on OnlyFans that you don't in, like, the regular porn world.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that we've learned is the more that you are kind of embracing your personality, first of all, the more I'm embracing mine as well, and just kind of being myself, I'm saying a lot more, fuck you, I'm not going to do what you want me to do.
Right.
You know, people tend to like me for some reason if I just act like myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with her. So we're trying to bring a little more authenticity into our brand and just, you know, embracing the awkwardness again.
That's awesome. I love it. That's so good. And you guys are going to send me your social media too, right? So I can tag you guys.
That'd be awesome. We'd love that.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. And if you're ever, you ever come or know anybody near the Disney World area, you let us know.
Funny story about me is I used to work for Disney. So,
did you?
And I used to want to work at Disney World and work for Disney as my career. But then I found out how little they pay. And so I kind of changed that a little bit. But I'm like totally a Disney girl.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really cool. I love that.
Well, if you ever come, we'll get you on the podcast in real time, but you'll have to be in your underwear sitting right here next to us in the center of the bed.
So. I love it. That's so cool. This has been so fun.
It has been awesome. Thank you so much for talking to us. We'll be talking about this for quite a while, so we appreciate it.
Thank you so much. All right.
So, you know, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, the Summer's Eve products, you know, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve.
Right.
Or Spring Blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, it's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
I was like, uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And, you know, you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself, too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
It works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to, you know, take away that natural
flavor,
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code StephanieClassX and get yourself.
So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like, you kind of saw it in movies. You're like, oh, it's a penis pump. You know, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, you know, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, you know, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7. And I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout.
my dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player. And it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then maybe 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. bathmatedirect.com/StephanieClassX.
Hey, Jason. I think it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
All right, babe. What do you got on your mind?
Well, we've been talking about the Spicy Pages a lot on the podcast, but I think it's time that we finally invite them in and let them see what it's all about.
Yeah, okay. I mean, everybody always wants to know how to get involved and all that kind of stuff. And the first way to get involved is to, you know, actually see what it is that we do. All of our stuff is so real and so raw.
Right.
But how are you thinking we do it? Like movie announcer style?
Sure, we can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a go.
In a world where ordinary podcasts just aren't enough, two podcasters with incredible genitalia break free from the mic to bring you an awkward experience like no other. Exclusive content awaits at virginitysnatchers.com.
Dive deep behind the scenes and join us for unfiltered, uncut, and undeniably wild adventures.
Don't just listen. Be a part of the journey.
You can come watch me take every single virginity, see close-ups as they enter my pussy for the first time, and get an even closer look into our kinky world.
How was that for dramatic?
I mean, it was dramatic. It might be a little over the top, but I think they'll get the point.
All right. Well, if y'all want to reach out to us, you check out our paid pages. You can find them all on virginitysnatchers.com. Love to interact. We love to do custom content, and we love to help answer your questions. If you need a guaranteed response, you find us on there. If you want to support us, that's the way to do it. Now,
let's get back to the show.